Hebrews chapter 11, please. Hebrews chapter 11. We're coming near the end of this study that we've been on for months and months now on God's Hall of Fame, the Christian walk made easy. And we're reading just one verse here in Hebrews 11, and then we'll be turning to the book of Judges. Hebrews 11, verse 32. The writer to the Hebrews says, "And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel, and of the prophets who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to fight the armies of the aliens." And amen. During this series, it could be that you have picked out your favorite character thus far. It could be that maybe you're a young person and you have particularly identified with Abel, the young man who offered to God what was acceptable, and you said in your heart, "I'm going to be an Abel. I'm going to do God's work in God's way. I'll be an Abel." Praise God. Maybe there is someone and you are in trouble, struggling to keep your head above water. Every time you think you've made it, another wave comes and comes over your head. And you've focused on Noah and his unsinkable faith. And you've said in your heart, "I'm going to be a Noah with that unsinkable faith. No matter how many times I go down, I'm coming up again." Maybe someone with a sinful past, you have concentrated on Rahab, the harlot. And you've said, "Well, if God can meet her need and bring her into the family of God and the lineage of the Savior, then he can do it for me." Or maybe someone has a young family and you have concentrated on Amram and Jochebed, the parents of Moses, who through faith hid Moses in the bulrushes. You remember the story. And you want to be godly parents like Amram and Jochebed. Of course, we could all focus on Enoch, who had faith to walk with God. Every character, I trust, as we have walked our way through Hebrews 11, every character, I trust, has been beneficial to us in our spiritual walk. This morning, we come to a man who has been neglected in this portrait gallery of faith. People walking through this chapter jump over him. They don't really know much about him, but the plaque underneath the picture says Barak. And to find his story, we have to turn to Judges chapter 4. Do that with me, please. Judges chapter 4. Let me give you a wee bit of the background. It's familiar background, of course. The nation of Israel is in a backslidden state. They had disobeyed, sin is rampant, idol worship is common, and God loves the nation too much to let it continue. And so he sends judgment to the nation in the form of the Canaanite army. And the Canaanite army surrounds God's people, and they're under siege for some 20 years. That's a long time to be under siege. Now, before we get into the story of Barak, can I say that I believe we're in a similar scenario today? I believe that the people of God are in a terrible state across the world. I believe that in our nation, God's people are lukewarm and casual. And I do believe that the things that once were held amongst us faithfully are being eroded at a terrible rate. And I believe that God loves us too much to let it continue. And so Satan and the world has us hemmed in. We are surrounded. We are tied by political correctness. And we are silenced and intimidated lest we cause offense to anybody. That's the days we live in. Can I just say in passing, the gospel will always be offensive to the unbeliever? Always. Can I remind you that the gospel was never designed to be popular and fashionable? Now, we shouldn't be offensive. All that we should do in love. We should not be offensive in our manner. But we must understand that the message that we bring to this world, to the unbeliever, is offensive and unpleasant. I could pick one at random. I could think of preaching on John 14 and 6. You know the verse. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Some of you will remember Paul Bassett, who took a mission for us many years ago. He's the minister of Melbourne Hall in Leicester. They put that text, John 14 and 6, outside their church building. The council came and told them to put it down. It was causing so much offense. John 14 and 6, the words of the Lord Jesus, is one of the most offensive, egocentric, and intolerable statements ever made. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man gets to the Father except by me. It's absolutely exclusive. And that is offensive to the people we are trying to reach. In our tolerant, pluralistic, multi-faith society, such a statement is deemed highly offensive. But I want you to know that highly offensive statement is still absolutely true. Absolutely, isn't it? In critical, desperate days, Barak proved that the answer to being bullied and oppressed and intimidated is to go on the offensive and renew our faith in the living sovereign God of heaven. And that's our subject this morning. How did Barak do it? I just have 3 points for you this morning. You'll easily remember them. First of all, I want you to see the infallible source of his faith. We're in Judges 4. We're reading the first 9 verses. Follow it with me if you would. And the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord when Ehud was dead. And the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, that reigned in Hazor, the captain of whose host was Sisera, which dwelt in Harosheth of the Gentiles. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, for he had 900 chariots of iron, and 20 years he mightily oppressed the children of Israel. And Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, she judged Israel at that time. And she dwelt under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in Mount Ephraim, and the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. And she sent and called Barak, the son of Abinoam, out of Kadesh Naphtali, and he said unto him, hath not the Lord God of Israel commanded, saying, go and draw toward Mount Tabor, and take with thee 3,000 men of the children of Naphtali and of the children of Zebulun. And I will draw unto thee to the river Kishon, Sisera, the captain of Jabin's army, with his chariots and with his multitude, and I will deliver him into thine hand. And Barak said unto her, if thou wilt go with me, then I will go. But if thou wilt not go with me, then I will not go. And she said, I will surely go with thee. Notwithstanding, the journey that thou takest shall not be for thine honor, for the Lord shall sail is Sisera into the hand of a woman. And Deborah rose and went with Barak to Kadesh. What was the source of Barak's faith? Was it attending meetings? It's good to attend meetings. We're glad to see you. Is that how he got an increase of faith? Was it maybe living a good life, and as he lived that good life, then God blessed him with more faith? No. It wasn't either of those. The faith of Barak came by the word of the Lord. Deborah was a prophetess, and she comes to Barak in verse 6 with a word from the Lord. Hath not the Lord God of Israel commanded, saying, you've got to do it. It's in the word. The word of God is spoken. Faith is always rooted in God's word. That's why Paul, writing to the Romans in chapter 10, verse 17, he could say, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. There's a very simple formula for faith. And I would imagine there's not a believer here this morning who would not stand with me and say, I wish I had more faith. We're all in the same boat. Well, here's the formula. The formula is faith cometh by hearing God, and when you hear God from the word of God. And as we read the word of God and as we apply it to our lives, then we grow in confidence and trust and faith in the one of whom it speaks. Don't pray for more faith if you're not reading God's word. You'll not get it. You could pray all you like. Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing comes when we absorb the word of God. And maybe right at the start of my remarks, God is calling you back to the word. He's calling you back to a quiet time that has long since evaporated into the mists of time. And he's calling you back to be a student, a lover of the word of God. And as we become men and women of the book, we will grow in our knowledge of him and grow in our faith of him. Notice, this word of the Lord came through a woman of faith called Deborah, a lady in touch with God. And how we need ladies in touch with God. We need ladies to be in touch with God to make an impact on the next generation, on our children. They have more time than maybe anybody else to shape and to pour their lives into the next generation. We need godly mothers. We need godly mothers to change the spiritual temperature of our homes. We need spiritual women to make an impact on the local church and the place of prayer. And many a prayer meeting, the backbone of it is the woman who pray. Dear sister in the meeting this morning, listen to me. Please do not depend on the spiritual temperature of your husband. I love my mom and dad dearly. I miss them. But I had a dear mom, a godly woman. But she didn't know the book. She loved the Lord. Her life proved it. She wrote me letters. She wrote to everybody I knew. She was a letter writer. Even though I've seen her every day, I still would get a letter in the post that she'd written in the middle of the night. That was her. But whenever she was trying to talk about the scriptures, she says, Alec, that was my dad. Alec, speak to that boy. Alec, talk to him. Why? Because she didn't know. Dear sister, you make sure that you're not just living off the tailcoats of your husband. Make sure your faith is strong. Make sure you're a Deborah. Make sure you're a woman in touch with God. Deborah knows the mind of God. And she could not lead the army. That would have not been appropriate. And so she passes God's word on to Barak. Notice how weak his faith is. Verse 6, Barak said unto her, if thou will go with me, then I will go. But if you will not go with me, then I will not go. Barak was a jellyfish. He had no backbone. God was able to use that weak faith, that fearful faith of Barak, and use it so effectively that Barak is listed in this chapter of faith in Hebrews 11. It was mentioned in our prayer meeting this morning. You do not need great faith in God. You need faith in a great God. It's true. But don't settle for a weak faith. Don't settle for just maybe thinking, hoping that it's all going to pan out, and hoping that all these people who sit around me have got it all sorted out, because I haven't. And you depend on the collective group. And you just hope that there's enough here, there's enough elders, hopefully they've got it all sussed, and I'll just come in. No. Be a Deborah. Be a Deborah who knows her God and knows what God is trying to say to the people. The tiniest amount of faith can overcome mountains of obstacles. The tiniest amount of faith can overcome and subdue a mountain of excuses. A little tiny amount of faith can conquer all the doubts and all the questions. Grow in faith through studying God's word. Get to know the Master. I call on you this morning to renew your faith. Renew your confidence in the God of glory. And that will happen when you love this book. It will come when you know this book. It will come when you saturate your soul with this book. It will come whenever you understand and yield to this book. The infallible source of his faith was the Word of God through the woman of God, Deborah. Secondly, notice the incredible success of his faith. We're back in Judges chapter 4, verse 10. And Barak called Zebulun and Naphtali to Kadesh, and he went up with 10,000 men at his feet, and Deborah went up with him. Down to verse 13, please. And Sisera gathered together all his chariots, even 900 chariots of iron, and all the people that were with him, from Harosheth of the Gentiles unto the river of Kishon. And Deborah said unto Barak, up, for this is the day in which the Lord hath delivered Sisera into thine hand. Is not the Lord gone out before thee? So Barak went down from Mount Tabor, and 10,000 men after him. And the Lord discomfited Sisera and all his chariots and all his hosts with the edge of the sword before Barak, so that Sisera lighted down off his chariot and fled away on his feet. But Barak pursued after the chariots and after the host, unto Harosheth of the Gentiles, and all the host of Sisera fell under the edge of the sword, and there was not a man left. This is one of the most amazing military victories of all time. And it was won by Barak over the Canaanite army commanded by Sisera. Barak's army was an impressive 10,000 soldiers. But those 10,000 soldiers of Barak were nothing compared to Sisera's Canaanite might. Sisera had 900 iron chariots, we read. That's like having 900 MiG-35 fighter jets, or if you're American, it would be 900 F-16 fighter Falcons. Isn't that what they fly? This is the latest technology. This is the very latest in military might. This is the very latest in cutting-edge technology. Sisera had 900 of them. Sisera thought he could not lose. My chariots, my superior army, my military might, my military experience of at least 20 years. But Sisera didn't know the truth of Psalm 20, verse 7, that says, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Historians tell us what happened at the start of the battle. There was a torrential rainstorm. You can read it a wee bit in Barak and Deborah's song in chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse 4, it says that the heavens dropped. That's how he describes it in song. Such was the rain, the heavens just dropped. In verse 21, it speaks of the river of Kishon swept them away. This massive torrential flood, and the battlefield became a swamp, and the horses reared, and the iron chariots got bogged down in the mud. And then we didn't read it, but look at verse 15. Verse 16, but Barak pursued after the chariots, after the host. Verse 17, howbeit Sisera fled away on his feet to the tent of Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite, for there was peace between Jabin the king of Hazor and the house of Heber the Kenite. And Jael went out to meet Sisera and said to him, turn in, my lord, turn in to me, fear not. And when he had turned in unto her into the tent, she covered him with a mantle. And he said unto her, give me, I pray thee, a little water to drink, for I am thirsty. And she opened a bottle of milk and gave him to drink and covered him. Again he said unto her, stand at the door of the tent, and it shall be, if any man doth come and inquire of thee and say, is there any man here? Thou shalt say no. Then Jael, Heber's wife, took a nail of the tent and took a hammer in her hand and went softly unto him and smote the nail into his temples and fastened it into the ground, for he was fast asleep and weary. So he died. It would put you off camping, wouldn't it? Sisera fled for his life, comes to a tent, Jael invites him in, gave him some warm milk, he falls asleep, she puts a blanket over him, he felt safe and secure. Be very careful who you speak to whenever you're in a crisis. Be careful who you turn to. Sisera thought he was in the tent of a friend. He thought he was in the tent of a supporter, someone who would protect him. He was in the tent of an enemy. And he thought all was safe and secure when he stepped into the enemy hands and God was able to use it. I say, be careful who you speak to. Be careful who you depend on. And as he slept, Jael got the tent peg and the hammer, crept quietly to his side, put the tent peg to his temple and hammered it home and pinned him to the ground. And Barak that day won a great victory because of his faith in God. He took his army into what was, humanly speaking, the valley of death. He had taken his army on a suicide mission, a hopeless situation. It seemed as if everything was pointing against him. But he says, I'm going to believe God. My God's bigger than all of Sisera's army. And I'm going to believe God. And all he had to hold on to that day was the word of God. And praise God, that's all Barak needed. What's the application in 2017? As the enemy surrounds us, and we are told that our message is too narrow and too dogmatic and too arrogant, I hope you'll be out tonight. I hope you'll support the preaching of the gospel that is anathema to this world. We need to support the preaching of the gospel because we're losing it fast. But we are told it's too narrow, it's too dogmatic, it's too arrogant. But Barak shouts at us over 3,300 years of history. And he shouts at us this morning and he says, listen, trust God's word. Have faith in Jehovah. Don't fear the enemy. Fear God. That's the message. Whenever you watch the news and they're changing laws, trying to put pressure, and you're at your wit's end, go back to the word. God's not finished. God will fulfill his purposes. God will fulfill his plan. God will reign where'er the sun doth his successive journeys run. His kingdom stretch from shore to shore till moon shall wax and wane no more. It's a great study, the battles of Scripture. I commend it to you. Joshua, the battle of Jericho. The Lord used the element of the supernatural. They marched round the walls every day. The last day they marched round seven times. The walls fell down supernaturally. God can use the supernatural. Whenever you come to Gideon that we looked at some weeks ago and the battle of Harod, it wasn't so much the supernatural. God used the element of surprise, didn't he? There they were, camped round about, and the light was hidden in the clay pots, remember? And at the signal, they would smash the pots, the lights would shine, they would shout, the hand of the Lord and of Gideon, and they would run. And it was the element of surprise. God can use the element of surprise, can't he? Here in Barak, in the battle of Kishon, it's the element of nature. God opened the heavens and turned the whole battle around because of the flood and the quagmire of the battlefield. God can use many ways and means of achieving the victory, but the victory is never in question. Should he use the supernatural? Should he use surprise? Should he use the nature? The victory is not in question. Let me finish. The infallible source of his faith, the word of God through Deborah. We need to be men and women of the book. The incredible success of his faith, victory. God wrought a victory and Barak believed him. Even when all the evidence pointed against, he saw the 900 frightening chariots of iron. He said, I can do it. I've God on my side. Thirdly, the invisible strength of his faith. Look at chapter 5, verse 20. This is the song of Deborah and Barak. When they won the day, they wrote a song to celebrate it. And Judges 5 and 20 says, they fought from heaven. The stars in their courses fought against Sisera. Isn't that interesting? They're saying here that it wasn't just the 10,000 fighters. It wasn't just Barak. It wasn't just Deborah. What the song is saying is that the very heavens and the stars were fighting. You know, maybe you thought that the Americans invented the idea of Star Wars. No, here it is in Judges 5:20, right at the time of Barak, the stars were fighting. The battle was lost for Sisera before he got up that morning. And the battle was won for Barak before he even put on his armor. Because this verse teaches us that the whole universe is against the man or the woman that's against God. Doesn't it? The whole of the universe is on our side if we are on the right side. And the whole of the universe is against you if you're not on God's side. The lesson of Barak is that sin cannot win and faith cannot fail. And behind those of faith, behind men and women of faith, regardless of how weak and feeble at times it can be, there is an unseen, eternal, supernatural force. There is the power of the universe And I am just one. And I struggle just like you. And I falter and tremble and make mistakes. But I believe with all my heart that I am in league with the stars of heaven. I do. I believe there is a universe of God at my back. And even though I am nothing, He is everything. I can't feel. The infallible source of his faith, the Word of God. The incredible success of his faith, victory of God. God turned it around. And the invisible strength of his faith, the universe of God. Christian, renew and strengthen your faith through the Word. Unsaved, the life of faith begins when you repent and trust the Lord Jesus by faith. What a lesson. What a great hero is Barak. Study him again whenever you go home, please. May God bless his word.